and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm.
Well played. You didn't
and
call
we have a forum and it's
attention to it. You
tips.
Didn't freak out.
I knew the state was a losing
We just moved on with the show.
I'm just thinking of on 30 Rock when they show the live one, and it's technical difficulties, and it's like a drunk peacock in front of a TV holding a screwdriver. Yeah.
Welcome back to Freedom Fiends Live. It is our live Saturday show on May 25th, 2013. I am Nima Vidotti. Over there in Wyoming, we've got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
It's my birthday. Go Nima.
Go, Michael. No, go you. It's your birthday.
Hey, I think I want to hear some music. Will you put on some Ramen Noodles for me, please?
Some Ramen Noodles,
That person's never been poor if they're calling them Ramen Noodles, man. I was poor. I was poor once before. I was poor back when I was a socialist, and now that I'm an anarcho-capitalist, I have enough money to, you know, sell my survival medals and buy better microphones to sound wonderful on the radio.
Now that you've stopped depending on other people to pay for all of your things.
Yeah,
you have things.
I saw an ad for a movie today that's so socialist, man. It's about gay magician. No, socialist.
It's about gay magicians eating pudding. Of
yeah,
course.
Isn't that from? No, that's no. It's called Now You See Me Down, Now You Don't. And it's about a bunch of young, hip, slick stage magicians who rob a casino remotely with stage magic and end up with billions of dollars and they give it away to the people and don't keep 1 cent. I'm like, it's the Occupy Wall Street screenwriters.
Right.
It's weird, man.
Well, like you said a few casts ago, man, people got the concept of the Robin Hood story the wrong way. Apparently, he wasn't just stealing from random rich people and distributing it amongst
the poor
people. Yeah,
he was not a socialist. He was a freedom fighter because he was stealing from people.
He was stealing from government goons. He was stealing back tax money, basically.
Yeah, money and money from the landowners who were not like landlords in a free market. They were like horrible. Explain why they were horrible. They weren't real people. I mean, capitalists.
Weren't real people.
They weren't real capitalists. People also conflate capitalism with corporatism. Capitalism is good, but what people yell about being capitalism in America and make fun of is really corporatism. It's capitalism that's so in bed with the socialism of the government, whether it's the left or the right party in charge, in power.
Well, capitalism, as I conceive of it, means private ownership of capital. It basically means private people or organizations on a voluntary basis own things. They own all the property.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that. We have state power. We have corporations, which are basically a grant that the government gives to organizations to get to socialize their losses and privatize their profits. So it's the worst of every world. That's not when we say capitalism is good. We're not talking about, you know, Goldman Sachs. They're not capitalist in the least sense of the word.
You know how you know I'm a real capitalist? Because I'm working on Patriots Day weekend or whatever this is. You know, I was I got a call from Genesis Communications Network, our corporate overlords. No, I'm kidding. Our wonderful people who, well, it's hard to not be a corporation in these. I mean, I've incorporated before. It's not
you got to do it out of self-defense.
Yeah, it's self-defense.
It's hate the game, don't hate the player.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to play by the rules. It's just unfortunate that the rules are so stacked against good business and good morality.
Yeah, but someone called me yesterday from Genesis Communications Network, our wonderful syndication network, that gets us on radio over satellites. It's cool. It's a lot of science. We'll talk about it one of these days. But Nathan called me and left a message yesterday and said, are you guys taking this weekend off? And I called back. He wasn't there. And I talked to John and I said, yeah, I got a call something about taking the weekend off. Is that because it's my birthday? Because Saturday is my birthday. And he's like, no, I didn't know it's your birthday. Happy birthday. How old are you? I said, 49. He's like, really? I didn't think you were that old. I guess people think I sound immature. So immature.
Quality problem.
Yeah, but he said, no, a lot of show hosts take, what is this called, Patriot Day? Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day,
and
yeah.
Take the weekend off, and I'm like, and then we play a replay of a show, and I'm like, what? I don't even understand the question, man. I am going to do live radio. I don't know what that is. I am going to do live radio every Saturday and Sunday until I die of old age on air. Seriously.
Yeah, and you have a pet peeve against holidays in general because you feel like I'm working, but nobody's there to take my calls or sell me the things I want to buy.
Or have the post office open or deliver mail. Yeah.
Now, I did want to put a caveat on this whole segment, though.
To not make people feel bad. Yes.
Exactly. I don't want people to feel guilty. You know, if you bust your butt all year and this is the chance you get because you get to take some time off of work and you're going to go out.
Because the corporatocracy only allows you to take state mandated days.
There you go. Yeah. And this is your only time you get to go to Lake Powell and boat around. And hey, man, don't feel bad. You know, go for it.
And have your 3 minutes hate sponsored by the government. Okay, now it's time to hate the enemy. This week, the enemy is, oh, but don't mind that we're sending their buddies missiles, and the Republicans voted for it, even though they hate the enemies and say they do and run and get elected on hating those enemies. The Republicans and the Democrats are evil, and that's going to lead into our next segment called, after the break, we're going to have our new segment called Obama Likes War, Should You?
Yeah. And we're also going to talk about Obama dissociative disorder, which is a new term for what Obama does. So stay with us, fiends. We'll be right back.
Worms. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael
Dean.
Let's
reboot the cactus, Nima.
They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
On Freedom Fiends Live. We are coming to you live. It is May 25th, a Saturday, and I'm Nima Vidotti, representing that Austin, Texas, the good old ATX out here in the Texas Hill Country, and out in the plains of rural Wyoming, we've got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
I am grand, and it's my birthday.
Grand. such a grand gesture, not a hollow gesture like Mr. Obama is so fond of doing. I heard a great term to describe the way Obama talks, because he's been talking into a lot of microphones, a lot of SM58s lately.
57.
And it is
57 is okay. The presidential mic. That's why you're using the 58. Bad. Although the Pope uses a 58, and I heard that he's part of some conspiracy.
Okay. But the term is Obama dissociative disorder. Now, they should put that in the DSM, shouldn't they? Because basically what it's describing here is the guy, the president, he's basically in charge of all these federal agencies, you know, the executive branch of the United States federal government. And it's done or different agencies have been doing some pretty horrible things. And Obama just sort of shrugs his shoulders and he's like, I didn't know about it. Or he talks about how bad it is, even though he has the ability to put a stop to it. You know, there's that old term, the buck stops here. Man, you can't sit there and act like you're one of us, Mr. Obama. That doesn't fly anymore. Maybe when you were running for office before you were president, but I don't even think then because you were a senator. But now that you're president, man, don't talk bad about this stuff and act like you have no power over it. That's just weak sauce, man. And let me give you some examples here.
You sound like you think the government can be fixed, or are you speaking their language?
No, you're right. You're right. This is not.
You sound like, listen, fellow patriots, what we need to do is send strongly worded letters to our representatives and things will change.
Well, what I guess I'm trying to do is explain to people that, that hey, this guy lies. He's full of crap. He's going to tell you whatever you want to hear. But you're right. It wasn't just him. It was Bush. It was Clinton. It was Nixon. It was Reagan.
Do you know where the term the buck stops here comes from?
Probably FDR or something.
Truman, man. No? It's a reference to gambling, to playing poker. Like, you know, this is where it ends. You can't pass here. You can't fool me.
Okay.
But, you know, it was some tax eater, some warmonger had that on his desk.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, really, it's like, I'm the politician who steals less than the other politician. I mean, it's still stealing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I guess I just don't like presidents who just shrug their shoulders like, I don't know how that happened. It wasn't my fault.
So sleepy.
He's totally Urkel, not Stefan Urkel right now.
Yeah, but you're right. Obama could end the wars and close Gitmo with the stroke of a pen. And, you know, anybody who thinks, well, those people over there are bad and they should be tortured. Okay, Obama likes torture. You don't like Obama. You shouldn't like torture. That's basically what we're going at. And and if you like torture on people who've been accused of being a terrorist, who there's no proof that they were, you got to remember that there's a trickle-down effect with that. And in 2 or 3 years, you're going to be the terrorist because you're saying, I don't like Obama in his third term, and I don't like that I have to give up my guns for this Obamacare, and I'm going to post a feisty blog post on the Facebooks about it. Yeah, then they're going to come get you and waterboard you. So if you, you know, when you allow it for the worst, or the people who are accused of the worst, I should say, it trickles down to the people who are accused of not liking the status quo.
Right, because you've crossed that Rubicon. There's that principle there of fairness and letting somebody stand before their accusers. All of these things in Western common law for centuries that are just being ignored. Listen to this Obama quote, right? During a recent speech, he gave this big speech, this big to-do. He says, quote, look at the current situation where we are force-feeding detainees who are holding a hunger strike. Is that something that our founders foresaw? Is that the America we want to leave our children? Now pause. Okay, that sounds like something I would say, or you would say, or any talk show host critical of the Obama administration would say. But he's saying it himself, as if he's standing outside of his own administration, looking into it and criticizing it, instead of being the guy who's in charge of it and can put a stop to that, like you said, with a stroke of a pen.
Yeah, that's so square, man. Obama also likes indefinite detention. Obama likes indefinite detention. Should you? Obama also likes spying on the internet and tapping all your phones. Should you? You know, one of my early journeys in liberty, I mean, the earliest journey goes back to like kindergarten when someone told me what to do and it was a stupid thing. And I was like, I don't want to do that. That was like the first, you know, indication that I had liberty in my blood and probably also that I didn't like authority, which is in the new DSM-5 is considered a mental illness. So, Yeah, man. But one of the really early things in it was, oh, probably 7 or 8 years ago, right after I met my wife, probably before we were married, we were living together, living in sin, as they say. And I was reading the paper, and Bush was president, and was he? Yeah, Bush was president, I think. Some guy. You get him.
The first Bush.
Yeah. I'm post-race. It's kind of funny, because I walked up to you one time, shortly after I met you, and said something about politics at a Tea Party convention that you were covering for the news.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. And you said something about, and Obama was president, and he said, I'm so sick of what Bush is doing. And I was like, Bush, what, writing his memoirs? And you're like, oh, no, you said Obama. I get confused. And I was like, you are, and people out there in Radioland may not know this, Nima's a brown guy. He's a Middle Eastern descent, and he's not a white guy, or he's part white, but he's as white as our president.
I'm as white as the president.
Yeah,
there you go.
So, and I was like, man, that is like the most post-racial thing I ever heard, and like the most politically correct in the correct term of what politically correct should mean. Like, you can't tell Obama from Bush. But going back
But at the time you said that, I wasn't really being post-racial. I was being post-political, mm-hmm. which I think you are now too.
Yeah. You dragged me kicking and screaming, and my wife helped too. But I said to my wife about 7 years ago, like, you know, I'm reading the paper, and I'm like, you know, I don't care if they read my email and tap my phone. I have nothing to hide. And her jaw dropped. And we mm-hmm. we were she was way further down the road toward true liberty of where she is from where we are now. But her jaw dropped, and that was kind of one of my first inklings, because she explained it to me. She's like, you should care. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because if they can do that, they can do other things. Why should you want to let them? Why shouldn't you care?
Yeah.
And it really clicked with me. And that's good. The same thing that's going on, what we're saying right now. Like, anybody who's like, I think they should blow the Middle East back to the Stone Age, except for Israel. You know, the whole, like, neocon Republican Christian, and I'm not saying all Christians are like that, and there's a lot of Christians who are anti-war. There are nuns out there being anti-war, and we're not anti-self-defense. Nima and I carry guns, and if someone stepped to us and pulled a knife or pulled a gun, we would shoot them to keep us from being killed. We wouldn't shoot to kill. We would not take great pleasure in it. We would shoot them in the center mass, which is shooting to stop. And if that failed to work, we would shoot them in the head, which is shooting to stop. It'll probably kill them, but we're not going to try to wing them in the leg. We're not going to try to shoot the weapon out of their wrist. That's harder to do. You shoot the center mass. And that's rightfully and morally and legally, where we live, Texas and Wyoming, that's the legal thing to do. So we're not anti-self-defense. We are anti-aggression, and we believe that all of the stuff that's going on, or 99.999% of the stuff that's going on overseas from the American government, from the war machine, is aggression. It's an act of aggression. And the detention of people who, you know, their neighbors called the CIA in Afghanistan and said, He wants to kill your government. You're from Russia, right? Oh, America?
You're
yes.
From Russia,
you,
right?
You're America. Exactly. They don't even know who we are, man. And they're turning in their neighbors because they have too many goats or too many wives. And, you know, that's why a lot of the guys are in Gitmo. There may be some bad guys in Gitmo. There are some bad guys in the world. But there are guys in Gitmo who've been cleared by our government who are still there.
Yes.
And I see neocons and Christians and right-wingers and good patriot Americans posting on boards saying they should just pump sarin gas into there and kill all them terrorists. Okay? When you say that, you are saying, I don't care if they read my email or tap my phone to the nth degree. To where you're saying, I don't care if in 4 years during Obama's, you know, in 6 years during Obama's fourth term, when it's illegal to criticize the government and it's punishable by Gitmo, you are contributing to you being in Gitmo or you being in a FEMA camp when you say, I think they should bomb them back to the Stone Age. Don't horizontally enforce aggression against people you don't know and you don't know have done anything wrong. Don't do it,
Amen.
Man.
Amen. That's amazing rant number one for today's show. We also got a caller. What do you think about going to the phones, Michael?
I would love that.
Let's go ahead and take Jan from Blaine, Minnesota.
Hello, Jan. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Jan. What's up?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to say that I wrote a letter to the governor of Minnesota and the legislature, or the Senate and the House. And stated that, and that I have to bail out the stadium, that I would like preseason tickets. If
awesome.
Yeah, and I also told them I'd like to smoke there. So let me know when you can. Let me know when you can send the ticket.
There
you go. That's
awesome. A really good point. Yeah, I mean, if the government is going to force you to pay for something, they should treat you like a customer, right? Rather than
a victim. Exactly.
That's great, man. Hey, let me ask you really quick. What did you think of the governor you guys had that was the wrestler and was a Liberty guy, sort of?
You know what? The last election when he came up, there was nobody I wanted to vote for, and I thought, well, I'm going to vote for this guy. I could care less if he wins or not. My God, he won.
Good time. Thanks so much for the call, Jan.
Thank you for the call.
Bye.
That was great. That was my favorite call yet. That was wonderful. And, you know, I used to write letters to my representatives, and I kind of like don't recommend it now because it doesn't get things done when you're doing it seriously. But I like what he did. That was like performance art. That was great.
Yes.
I mean, and, you know, who am I to criticize people criticizing their representatives? That's like what I'm doing for a living now. You know, that's radio. It's the pen is mightier than the sword, and the RE20 and the SM30, the SM58 microphone are just really loud pens, basically. So
right.
I wholeheartedly endorse what he did.
It's also kind of criticizing them to their face, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Although they might not read it, their staff at least is going to read
although
it.
Although funny ones might get read. You know, they might be like, look at what this guy said to you. And they're probably like calling him an idiot when he's actually a saint. But, we don't like to deify people. I'm not going to deify that last caller, but I would like to shake his hand and buy him a beer. But I would prefer that the state of Minnesota buy him his beer and his season game tickets because he's paying for them, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the funny part is some politician might look at this and go, huh, that's a really good idea. Let's give out some free season tickets and then everybody will be okay with the bailout.
Yeah, yeah. They hide their stealing. The government's stealing. With services.
It's power laundering. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, Nima, turn up a little bit more.
Okay.
I could turn Nima up a little more on my end. Let me
pop me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, thanks, guys.
Both of you talk so I can check it again.
This is Mr. Michael Dean. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting. How you doing, Nima?
I'm doing very well, Michael. I hope you're doing well as well.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
All right, we're back with the Freedom Fiends live on Saturday, May 25th, and Michael W. Dean has some opening. Hey, Michael, you got any guns for us today?
Glock, Glock, yo. Yep. My wife just went to the store to buy some flowers for our garden.
Ooh, pretty.
And she is carrying her Glock Model 23. Glock, Glock, baby doll.
Yes.
And it is a 40 caliber weapon, and she has 13 rounds, I believe 12 or 13, and one in the chamber, because this is Wyoming, which is sort of still free. And someone just posted in the chat room that in Canuckistan, I guess that's Canada, our friends to the north.
He called it Soviet Canuckistan.
Yeah. Actually, the our radio signal, one of them that we're on, one of the three people that were syndicated with now, soon to be four or five starting next week, but one of the three does reach into Canada, into Saskatchewan, which is the Wyoming or Montana of Canada. It's the place that had the lowest compliance with the registration of long guns. So yeah, my baby doll is well protected, and I like that in a woman. She is carrying a gun. You know, when I bought my first gun, she said, I don't think we should buy a gun. That's admitting the world is a bad place. And I said, honey, sometimes the world is a bad place. And I bought a gun, and she fired it, and she's like, I want more.
Yes.
I've said that before.
There's nothing wrong with being a realist, though. And you can reprise some of the Fiend's greatest hits. We don't mind at all.
But, so in Canada, body armor, we just heard an ad for body armor. Body armor is regulated because the government needs to regulate what enters your body. And that's coming soon with Obamacare. I mean, they're already entering your body. You know, they do kind of probey stuff at the when you get on an airplane and all sorts of things that I would be fine with. A real market, a free market. We call the free market the real, just the market, because free market's the redundant, market. And the term free market is co-opted by people who are very anti-free market, like Romney and Obama and Bush, people like that, people that love to regulate and tax and
Reagan
and have what is it when you can't get something from another country when it costs money. There's a word for that. Yeah, tariff.
Protectionism.
Tariff sounds like a dirty word, but then again, so does blurg or nerf herder or holy Bingleschmidt, which since we are on radio now, we are making up cuss words. So I think that tariff should be a cuss word.
Okay, it already is, just like statist and Obama.
So the government wants to enter... Let's see. They want to enter your body when they want. They want to keep things from entering your body. And I heard something the other day that like placenta, like if a woman wants to keep her afterbirth for medicinal purposes or something. Now, doesn't that cost a lot of money? We read that somewhere.
Actually, no. Here's the thing in Texas, right? So the actual getting them to process your placenta and give it to you, you know, out of the hospital, a private company doing that, doesn't cost very much. But it's illegal to take it without government permission here in Texas. And you have to go get a stamp and file a paper with the state or maybe the city. I'm not sure. Some localized goon. And the permission slip actually costs more than the actual work to give the placenta to you. So how ridiculous is that?
I know why.
You don't even own pieces of your own body
without
the government approval.
I know why they do that. Because they need the placenta to harvest to make stem cell smoothies to keep Dick Cheney alive.
He's in the back room cracking fetuses open and sucking out the stem cells
like in...
South Park,
yeah. We're just implying in a joking way that politicians eat their young and the young of others. But it isn't that far from that when you think about it, with the things that they do, the things they poke and the things they take. And, basically, we yell about the government a lot. We're not anti-American. If we were in England, we would be screaming about Parliament. We wouldn't be
We still scream about England.
Occasionally, yeah. And how they're 5 years ahead of our tyranny because, you know, when they had the gun ban there, everyone said... And they said, got any guns, Governor? All right, I'll just take that. And people just, you know, turned them over like someone said, if they were taking people to the Nazi camps, they'd drive themselves and say, here you go, Governor. That tire's a little bit low. Here's a fiver for some petrol. Good day.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Just silliness, man. And like you said, you know, we'd be yelling at Parliament or whatever, but we do, and we also yell at other governments around the world. You know, the Iranian regime is awful. The Syrian regime is awful. But that doesn't mean that people should steal money from us so that we can fund wars there, you know, and we'll be right back after this trip to the market.
Worms.
Hey guys, I'm gonna go use the head quick. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
Peepee kitty. Generals gathered in the masses, just like witches at black masses.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yo,
it is Freedom Fiends Live, Hour 2. Yes, it is the sequel to Hour 1. It is May 25th, 2013. And Michael, we're going to switch it up a little bit. This is Redemption in the second hour. We're going to talk about sound conditioning. We're going to leave all that tyranny behind us. It won't be able to get through the soundproof door. Obama's lies can't reach into this bunker.
Yeah, and today's episode is called Obama Likes War, Should You? But that's what we covered in the first hour of our radio broadcast on the Freedom Fiends. You know, I really like that we're on one 50,000-watt station now, because a 50,000-watt AM station the signal will reach into space. And here's what I think. I think that the aliens are going to hear the fiends and finally go, wow, we finally found intelligent life on Earth, and they're going to come down here, and they're going to make us be the libertarian emperors of the world, and we will bring freedom to everybody. I actually just got banned for joking like that. Almost got banned in our own chat room, which is kind of weird because it's our property, and they tried to the admin we appointed as libertarian emperors of our own realm tried to ban me because I jokingly said, somebody said, hey, everybody, I have an idea. The fiends are great. Let's go all tell two friends today. Make it a point every day to tell two friends about the fiends. And I love stuff like that. That was great. And then I said, no, I think that you should. And he said, because, you know, they might not listen, but you should tell them about it. And I said, no, I think that you should round people up at gunpoint, hold them hostage, and make them learn about the non-aggression principle and voluntary only experiences by forcing them to listen to the fiends, you know, libertarian re-education camp. And of course, I'm totally kidding, and that's totally ironic, and it totally doesn't make sense, because libertarians, true libertarians, would not force anyone to do anything. They would only use force to prevent aggression. Like if someone's coming at him with a knife and trying to kill him, then it's okay to shoot him in the center mass. So I almost got banned in my own chat room. That's the funny part of the story. So, yeah, we were talking about rights in other countries and how it's all tyranny, but it's a little more tyrannical. Some are a little more tyrannical than others. And North Korea, Cuba, and Canada are the only three countries in the world where you legally cannot purchase your own health care.
Illegal.
You have to go. Yeah.
Like the war on drugs. It literally, yeah, it's the war on prescription drugs, yeah. Isn't it?
But it's interesting that people go there for their prescription drugs because they're cheaper. Because they're, it's not because they're government subsidized there. They're cheaper. They're actually more expensive here because it's corporatocracy here. And I'm not saying Canada's socialist medicine system is good, but
because of the clunkiness of the FDA.
Right,
here,
right.
Is really what it comes down to.
Yeah, you know, I can't count the number of times I've seen an ad saying on TV saying for a class action suit, like if you were horribly harmed by this drug that was approved by the FDA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have some statist friends who will tell me, like, you know, I kind of see what you're saying about with the non-aggression and things like that, and the market would take care of it, but I don't want to be the first guy to eat the poison burger at Joe's Burger Shop, and I don't want to be the first guy to get poisoned by some prescription medicine.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, hey, those problems happen now with the state. So now we have the same problems, but we also have the violence of the state, the higher cost because of FDA regulations, and the police state and surveillance state. So we have all of the horrible things that people don't want and associate with some kind of dystopian future, but we still have all the problems that you worry about if we didn't have the state.
Yeah, and things could work better in an actual market, even with things as important as medicine, because you'd have different systems that were more voluntary. You'd have things that were like, explain how that would work a little bit more.
Well, you wouldn't have a monopoly. See, that's the root of the problem is right now the FDA has the monopoly on approving medicines or not. And because there's just one organization doing it, and because the guys doing it are individuals who can be corrupted, who can be bribed, who can do things based on their own lust for power rather than their sense of some kind of public good, there's nothing to temper that. If you had multiple organizations that were private and voluntary that competed with each other and one let a medicine get out or approved a medicine that, you know, killed people, nobody would trust their approvals anymore, or they would have lots of splaining to do. And so, you know, the companies that did the best research, that did the most rigorous testing, and were the hardest to get medicines approved from, would be the companies that people trusted the most. And you could be like, well, you know, medicine approval company A has never gotten anything wrong, so I only buy medicines that are approved by A. Or you might not care as much, and you're young, and you're, you know, don't have a lot of money, and be like, well, you know, I'm not that worried. I'll go ahead and buy the medicine approved by company C, and whatever. I'm young. I feel invincible. And consumers should have that choice.
Young people who need money would be guinea pigs for money. You know, hey, you want to stop animal testing and provide jobs? Get rid of the FDA. Young people could young and old. And this sounds horrible to statists, especially statist leftists. Like, I think Jack Donaghy Republican types are probably like, yes, that sounds like a great idea. But, you know, it wouldn't be a horrible thing. And young people and old retired people wouldn't necessarily be almost universally poor the way they are now. That's a large function of the government. And L. Neil Smith has actually postulated that without the government, everyone would be 8 times richer. He's done all the math on it. I don't remember the math, but it makes sense to me because, first of all, I mean, they take about 50% of your money in taxes if you combine income, state, federal, local, and sales tax. And then if you combine the opportunity cost of everything you buy, that, you know, the truck that drove it from the warehouse to Walmart had to pay extra taxes, extra gas taxes, etc. If you factor that all in, some people have said we are paying between 85 and 90% of our income to the government. So right there, you would double what you have. And he had a bunch of math of why it would be more. And yeah, and people say, who would build the roads? My answer is the roads are already built, man. They're built.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
And who would build them? The same people that build them now that do a good job with it. And you'd eliminate the things like how in Wyoming there is a house that makes the White House look like an outhouse. And I asked someone, like, who owns that series of mansions that has its own street named after, I guess, the family? And they're like, yeah, the family. That's the family that builds, that does all the road contracts in Wyoming.
The thing is, a clever entrepreneur will always be looking for opportunities to provide people with things they want and finding clever ways of monetizing it. I mean, that's basically what business is, right? I mean, if you're not focused on getting the government contracts, then that's what you have to focus on. The problem is that the government gets to steal its money and has unlimited funds. So many entrepreneurs are focused just on getting the government contract, just on worrying about that, or even if they're not, they still have to worry about the regulations, and they have to put so many man hours and dollars into making sure they're compliant with not only the FedGov, but the various state govs, especially if they sell to the whole United States, and even international govs if they sell globally.
Yeah, who would build the roads? Not the mafia like they do now. I mean, whether it's the government mafia or the actual mafia, a lot of places back east, I'm not going to name any states, but everyone who watches HBO knows, because that's all based on truth. A lot of it, the New Jersey, a lot of roads are built by the mafia, man, in a way.
The other thing is, do we really need the roads to be conceived of as they are now? I mean, the interstate system was built by Eisenhower to move troops across the country. It wasn't built with, well, let's get America back on track and this will be great for the country. This will be great for the military and great for the state.
And that's why the interstate highway system doesn't ever go too far without a long straight section, even in places where that's hard to do. That's so they could land planes on them. The interstate highway system is just a let's move troops kind of thing. And you know, I would say that in libertarian paradise, the roads are already built. If we get to start over, we have to say, no, it's not a fair comparison unless you bulldoze all, you know, blow up all the roads. Wait, I heard the fiends talking on the radio about blowing up the roads. No, we're not. We're saying, in this libpair, is that what would have to happen? No. So we're going to talk about different countries and how they ban things. And, you know, in Canada, Cuba, and North Korea, you can't buy your own healthcare. And I talked to Mark from Canada, and he said, but you can buy your own optical care. And he went and got LASIK, and it was like
LASIK.
It was so much easier than going to the doctor. It was like buying something at the hardware store, you know?
And, and the price has steadily gone down, too. A lot of people like to use LASIK as a good example because insurance won't pay for it. So it's not as part of the medical industrial complex as most other procedures. And because of that, you can look at the charts and the cost of LASIK has gone down dramatically.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the cost of other pieces of healthcare that are covered by insurance, are government subsidized, or are part of that medical industrial complex, obviously everybody's complaining about the prices going up.
Yeah, and you know what else is illegal in North Korea is having a radio or a TV that can get channels from outside of North Korea. Basically, if you can actually afford to buy a cheap radio or TV there, which is kind of rare, the government cripples it internally. They go in and replace a coil and a capacitor so it won't get their channels, or they like flip a switch, I think, on some of them inside and then put a piece of tape over it. And if you alter that TV and hack it, you know, hack something you own to receive something from South Korea or from, you know, a less horrible country than North Korea or even China. China is verboten to them. It's like, oh my God, China is too free. We can't let their, yeah, that's really saying a lot. But if you do that, you will go to hard labor camp, and they have television tape hacking police who go into people's homes, can go in anytime they want without a warrant, unscrew the back of their TV and look to see if that has been altered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Iran, alcohol is illegal. So there are no bars. Instead, there's milkshake shops, but kids still get alcohol. Gee, imagine that. The government banned something and it didn't automatically disappear. No, people smuggle in cans. They're actual cans of whiskey, not bottles, but cans, I guess, because they're easier to move and smuggle. And kids still have parties. They have alcohol parties and they watch porn and they drink booze.
Yeah. And there's people in America that would like to ban those things because they believe their religion says so. And here's what I think. If your religion tells you something, don't do it yourself.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a difference between drinking whiskey and murder. Murder is wrong. Murder is wrong no matter what. Whiskey is not immoral. It might make you violent or stupid, but with some people, but it's those are violent, stupid people anyway, and it just brings it out. So
right.
If you don't like whiskey or porn, don't drink it or consume it. But don't try to keep other people from doing it because, you know, they asked Ron Paul, do you think heroin should be legal, when he was running for president? And his answer was great. He said, basically, I think that Christians should not be wanting to outlaw drugs because when you outlaw drugs, people will be able to outlaw your religion. People don't see the connections there, man. There's all freedoms are connected, and there's no such thing as half free. And we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends with more after this.
Yes.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Do you want to fiend? Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to fiend. It is Freedom Fiends Live, Saturday, May 25th, 2013. What it do, Michael W. Dean?
Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Freedom Fiends?
Yes, always, forever.
Hey, check this out. The RE20, since it has a really big coil, when I vape my nicotine next to it, listen to the sound it makes.
Yep. Sounds like electroshock therapy, man. I don't like
it. It does. No, that'll be stuff. That'll be my new sound effect. Instead of clinking silver, it'll be this. Yeah. So I just got a written warning from the admin on the chat room that we own, that people listening in Radioland can go to freedomfiends.com. It's go there and go to the little pink coffee cup that says Fiends Chat.
Although here, you want me to read Rico Fiend's comment back to you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Rico Fiend says, "Dear Michael Fiend, according to our chat rules and regulations, it is forbidden to use insulting and or statist words suggesting an initiation of violence. If we find that you have violated our agreement once again, immediate action will have to be taken. This is your last and final warning. Thank you for your voluntary cooperation."
Rico Worms. Fiend. Yeah, and he was going to ban me for, you know, an hour or something as a warning, but he can't ban me because I have God status, which means I started the chat room, so the person who starts it with the IRC program, the person who starts it and claims it owns it, so I own it. It's my property, but it brings up a good point of property rights. You know, if everything was owned by somebody, there wouldn't be the problem of the commons where, like, other people want to come in on Facebook and say, "You said something you shouldn't said. I'm going to get you banned and report you to the government." No, man, everybody should own their own things. And if they want to let people in, they can. If they want to kick people out, they can. That's not violating free speech because it's your property. So violating free speech is keeping people from being able to speak freely anywhere. That's what governments do. Even though it says in the First Amendment they can't, they still do it in different ways. They're you know, they're suing. Just go listen to any other talk show. They talked about it all week. We want to talk about soundproofing and sound conditioning today. But yeah, so that's bad when people do that. But this is a good example of how things could be done. It's a very small scale example of how things could work on a big scale. It's like, we own this bit of property, the Fiends chat room. I have the ultimate authority to kick people out, and I cannot be kicked out. But someone we trust, an admin, pointed out that I was violating the terms of service I'd set up. I was doing it jokingly, but we've banned people jokingly. If people come on and joke about bombs or something, we warn them and then kick them off because we don't want to get droned for what someone else says. So I was joking about kidnapping people and putting them in libertarian re-indoctrination camp, which totally is anti-libertarian, and that's why it's a joke, and we'd never do it. But I said that, and he gave me a warning and then gave me a written warning. Now, that is an appropriate thing to do because I have put him in charge of this chat room, and I actually violated the terms of service that I came up with that makes sense for everybody there. And I should be told when I'm doing that. And that's not wrong to put someone in charge and then have them tell the boss he's effing up. So that's what happened, and I promptly laughed at it and ignored it, but I'm not going to do it again. So it worked.
There you go. There you go.
That's the free market.
It's also a good example of universal principles, i.e., you know, somebody, just because they have a higher status, doesn't have a different category of morality. Now, it doesn't really fit here because, like you said, the chat room is your private property. But in general, I'd like to point that out because, to me, that's the essence of statism, is saying, well, because somebody was duly elected by a majority of 51% of the voters, then all of a sudden they are not subject to the same laws and rules of morality that the rest of us are, i.e. the president can order you detained indefinitely, or the sheriff can come in and bust down your house with a SWAT team. And it's okay, people think, because they put them in a different category of morality. And no, morality doesn't work that way. Either it's universal or it's not principled. And I'll take principled first principles any day over selective enforcement and this kind of silliness of putting people in different moral categories.
Yeah. Yeah. So then there's countries like North Korea where doing what we do would get you shot, and then they'd bill your family for the bullet and the time it took to shoot you, as we said before. And that's kind of sad. And I don't know if America's going to end up that far, because I think it's going to collapse economically at some point. They just won't be able to print enough money to pay all the goons they want to put on every corner to search our bags and our packages and our TV receivers and our butts and our internets and our phones.
Make us register our microphones.
We had a joke about that. Like, we don't like the idea of registering guns, because that's obviously how they know who to take them away from. And when asked if we have guns, although I think there's a bunch that I can see right here loaded within grabbing distance, we just say, "Hey, man, we lost them in a voting accident," which is a takeoff on boating accident, which is what people say on gun forums. But no, man, we lost ours in a voting accident. People voted left or right, and that's why you lose your guns, because you put governments in charge and put people above you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
We'll have more time.
Okay.
We'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Yo, Freedom Fiends.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We are the opposite of the telescreens from 1984. You may remember those. Those are screens in your house that are also cameras. They can watch what you're doing and bombard you with propaganda 24/7. You can never turn it off, but you can turn it down.
Like how people do with Fox News and MSNBC.
Is that on your house 24/7? Do you have MSNBC on watching the Ed Show?
In Wyoming, walking around at night, all I see, and in the daytime, like if I just glance in someone's window, I'm not peeping like a central scrutinizer spying on their neighbors like the Stasi or like most statists, but I just look in someone's house. They're always watching Fox News here. It's on like all day, every day. They have it on the background to keep them from being lonely, I think. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. But sad.
Yeah. You know,
they should listen to GCN instead.
You know, my wife heard someone say the N-word here to a person of color at Walmart, a greeter, not to him, but like it was a bunch of Wyoming hipsters, like, you know,
what's up my N-word, like that?
No, out when they got out of hearing range of them, one of the hipsters said to the other one, hey, I dare you to go in and tell that N-word to blah 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 blah, you know, like being a prick basically. And
that's not cool.
And she didn't hear the rest of it. She was just like, her jaw dropped, like, really? We've been here 4 years and we've never heard that, which is kind of weird, because people, I moved here and my old Asian girlfriend from San Francisco was like, it must be really racist there. I read it's like mostly white people. I'm like, why would you think it's racist, man? This is like the least racist place. I mean, you're brown. Did you ever get any racist comments here?
No, not at all. Although I have a theory that people, you know, my view of that is biased, because obviously people wouldn't be racist around me. And I talk to lots of old white Republicans, people who some people would say, oh, those guys are probably racist. I don't know if they were tempering their statements because I was around or what, but I never heard any even tinkle of racism when I was in Wyoming.
Yeah, racism is collectivism, man. It's basically judging a bunch of people together. It's the same things that liberals do to conservatives. Those conservatives are all blah, blah, blah. So anyway, that's enough of the preaching. I'll get off my soapbox here and go back to being fun.
Please step down. Step away from the soapbox.
I was thinking about the telescreen. And what if the government decided to do that? Like, if they just put, they do have loudspeaker systems for warning now. We have in my neighborhood, like twice a year, I hear this, and I can't hear what it says from my house, which is weird. But it's like, you know, giant World War II era speakers up on some pole. It's not FEMA. It probably is part with FEMA. It's the DHS has put a bunch of money into putting these speakers up everywhere to where they can talk to people. And actually in some cities, they have street lights. They can spy on you, listen to you, and talk to you. Like, hey, get away, citizen, step away from, we heard what you said. But, you know, maybe they'll get to the point where they're just broadcasting pro-government propaganda 24/7 from those speakers. Now, what if they did that? They might make it illegal to soundproof your house. And you wanted to
talk
about,
they probably would.
You want to soundproof your house. We want to give some news you can use here and get away from the government is horrible stuff and talk about some news you can use here.
I want to soundproof a room, not the whole house, but a room that will be my recording studio / office. I currently have built that into a large closet in my apartment, but we're going to be moving on up to the east side, hopefully, and I'll have a fresh slate. You know, somebody else will own the house. It's a rental property, ideally. But, you know, as long as you leave it like you found it, then it's okay. And so I want to do a few basic things to make sure that the sound doesn't get in or out. That way, you know, I keep odd hours sometimes, and I want to be able to do voiceover work at 2 in the morning and not have my wife go, shut up! You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My house is big enough that I can do that. I could go in my basement. I mean, you and I were working on the Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom movie and playing hip hop and rap and like loud electric guitar through an amp. It was in a closet, but it was in the basement. My wife slept through all of it.
Yeah.
You live in smaller places.
Well, there's no basements in Central Texas that I know of. I mean, maybe some of the government buildings have them, but that's not a thing for residential units here. I guess there's limestone or a bad water table or something to where nobody builds basements.
Well,
if
you build a bunk, like an underground bunker with weapons in Texas, didn't they like goon some old man for doing that there?
They did, yeah. The city of Austin came in and condemned this guy's house. He was building, basically building a basement. I don't know if it was for weapons or what it was. I don't recall. But they gooned him on the basis that he didn't have a permit. So they weren't saying there was anything wrong with what he was doing necessarily per se. But he didn't have the proper paperwork filled out. So they went and took his house.
No, I'm thinking of a guy who, maybe that's how they found that he had it, but he was like 89 or something. He was a World War II vet, I think, and he had a bunch of legally owned guns in his basement, but they were like crazy old man with too many guns and some survival food packets.
Yeah, I think it was the same guy. He had some these were antiques, really. I mean, I could just as easily see them being collector's items. I think he had some like decommissioned grenades or something like that too. That were decommissioned and were antiques.
They wanted to make his collector's items into collectivist items. So collectivism is really the thing we hate the most. It's basically saying what everyone ought to do, which both the left and the right do. So
it's not minding your own business. I mean, come on, guys. Yeah. Mind your own business.
Mind your own business. So you want to soundproof a house. I have some experience with soundproofing a room. Here's the thing. There's a difference between soundproofing and sound conditioning. Sound conditioning is really easy. You just hang up some blankets. Sound conditioning, the room I'm in, I have somewhat sound conditioned. It's a bedroom. I sleep in here. But I've put up some, I got some like $30 rugs that look like nice Persian rugs, if you squint. I got them at Walmart. I hung them up. They're only like 3 feet by 4 feet. They don't cover the whole wall by far. But they're on parallel walls, you know, to the left and right of me. And parallel walls are horrible for sound conditioning. Yeah. When you build a recording studio, you always have non-parallel walls because
angled walls.
Parallel walls pretty much amplify reverberation.
They bounce it back and forth. It's like pointing a mirror at another mirror, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I put those up, and I have curtains in here. I have rugs. I also have some wood walls and some plaster walls in here, but it's kind of a good mix. It doesn't sound totally dead like a studio, which I think is good for radio. I think for radio, some people try to make stuff sound like, you are, you know, like NPR.
Like NPR.
NPR sounds really, really, really dead. And it feels dead. It feels like dead people talking. Like, here's what we need to do is tell Obama that he needs to, you know, I can't even do it because I have too good of a voice, too good of a mic, and too good of a room. So, if you want to totally acoustically dead in a room, I've done that. Basically, you hang rug remnants on every surface till you're just in a big, fluffy, flammable box. Well, hopefully the rugs aren't flammable, but, and I boarded up a window. I've soundproofed a window. Okay. Here's the difference between soundproofing and sound conditioning. You could have a room that is sound conditioned, but not soundproofed. An example would be a canvas tent in the middle of a rock concert. And inside of the room, you hang up a bunch of blankets. There'd be no reverberation in there. If the rock concert shut up for a minute, you could do fine recordings in there. There'd be no reverb. That is good sound conditioning, but it's not soundproof. You'd hear everything outside you. You could have something that's soundproof, but not sound conditioned. An underground cave is soundproof. You know, you wouldn't hear an explosion outside of it or in it from outside, but it would be horribly reverberating inside. So that's the difference. Sound conditioning is really easy to do. Soundproofing is really hard. There's really three ways to soundproof and only two totally work. The two that totally work are 4 feet of concrete all around you, or a room within a room, which is basically, some studios do it this way in cities, you know, where there's a lot of trucks driving outside and they're trying to record and they don't want to pick up the trucks. Mm-hmm. You build a room that's suspended on foam pads inside another room without touching it. It's like a big box you could actually move. And if you play drums in there, you won't hear anything outside the building. Problem is, doing that, it ends up really hot in there. So you have to air condition it, and it's really hard to air condition a big box without adding motor noise. You have to have like the motor for the air conditioner like 80 feet away, and they have a bunch of baffles for the tubing to get rid of the noise but let the air through. So
now, are there like half measures if I want to do voiceover work at night? You know, it's just my voice. It's not amplified. It's not super loud, but I don't want my wife to hear it. Can I put up some panels and make sure the doors and the windows are boarded off with maybe some sheetrock and some foam in between them? Things like that?
Well, the half measure way is really layers of things with air between them, or like cotton or this pillow stuffing or feathers between them. I have soundproofed a window okay. In California, our house, we had a room that I turned into a recording studio, and it had one window that was 4 feet by 4 feet with about a 6-inch deep ledge from the inside of the room to the window pane. Outside that window was the parking lot for our condo complex. Whenever somebody drove up with their car, my mics would pick it up. So I got two pieces of thick plywood cut to the exact inner size of the door. I laid that tape, that insulation, like foam tape, that's like a half inch by a half inch, all around the inside of the window, pushed one of the boards up to it, then put in the stuffing from two pillows, then put in some fiberboard that was the same size, then put in more stuffing from pillows, and then put another plywood on the outside with that tape holding it in. And that worked pretty well. It stopped the sound of like people talking and birds and stuff and dogs barking from coming in. But when someone pulled up and parked their car blasting hip hop, even with their windows shut, the bass is really hard to soundproof against. Anything that's not bass is easy.
What about bass traps? Do those only work going out of the room, or can they work coming into the room?
I don't know what that is.
A bass trap? Okay, you build on a frame, and you put basically you have a wooden frame, and then you have like rock wool or some kind of really sound absorbent insulation, and then you cover that with like some kind of acoustic suede, and you make it into a box or into a corner piece, and you basically put that at the corners of the room.
Yeah, that's not really going to help. But if you're talking or rapping, there's not bass in it, so it might be easier to deal with that. I mean, you know what goes a long way is closing a door and putting a towel at the bottom of it to seal the gap. I mean, I do that if, you know, my wife's watching TV and I'm taking a nap, and that works. That works pretty well, but you're going to have a hard time sound conditioning, man. What you really got to do is make a bunch of money in the market and get an office, go downtown, rent a warehouse, you know, hire some old drunk to keep an eye on it, give him a pistol. And there you go.
See, even then, I kind of like the home office, because if I'm going to get an office, you know, that's another impediment or thing to make an excuse about. Like, I don't feel like getting in the car and driving. It's raining out. Or I don't want to waste the gas. Or, hey, man, I'm in my underwear. I don't want to put pants on. You can't use those excuses if you got a home office. You just walk down the hallway, get in it, and do your work, you know?
I know. Well, I think that you and your wife should move into the house that's for rent across the street and rent it and then buy it. And we'll just make a tunnel between our houses and sound, and that'll be soundproof.
Ah, yeah, and then we can condition it, which is easy.
Yeah.
All right, fiends. We'll be right back after we go to the market with the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon
it's the new ad.
Over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon. And Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken
the
aim
same
at
song in both
liberties.
Ads. That's funny.
There's a movie
that's
that
all right.
Beams back.
It's a little, it's more upbeat
part. The government
part.
Has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadati.
Available on Amazon or at gunsandweed.com.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, thank you so much for sticking with us, Fiends. This is the last segment of Freedom Fiends Live on Saturday, May 25th. And you know what that means? That means it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review! All right, so...
Tweak and Review.
Tweak
and Review. Remember, we'll be back tomorrow, too. You can't get rid of us that easy. We're back every Saturday and Sunday until I die of old age on the air.
Right, and this is the segment where we reprise as a medley what we had stated during the show, or at least, you know, the good bullet points.
Picture a montage in your head with 80s music.
Montage.
Yeah.
All right, so first, Adam Kokesh, resisting arrest, or good Marine tactics? Now, I don't know if we agree with all of his strategies and tactics, but good for him for not cowering before the state. He knew he didn't assault a police officer, and so did everybody else. And so he said, not going to play ball with you guys, and they let him out anyway. He didn't even have to sign the bail agreement, which would have kept him from carrying a gun. So good for Kokesh on those things. Next up. Obama is a liar, but so are all politicians. So here's the thing. Watch what they do. Don't listen to what they say. And I've got a couple more quick examples that we didn't get to. Here's another Obama quote. I'm troubled by the possibility that leak investigations may chill the investigative journalism that holds governments accountable, Obama said. And then some progressive quoted, hey, then fire Eric Holder, for God's sake, right? I mean, you're the guy who's in charge of this. Don't talk about how it's bad and do nothing about it. Another example. Here's another thing Obama said. For the record, I do not believe it would be constitutional for the government to target and kill any U.S. citizen with a drone or a shotgun without due process. Hey, then don't do it. You've killed at least four American citizens that we know of with a drone strike. You had to put the check mark by the kill list by their name. You did that. You know, you always like to say you didn't build that. Well, hey, you did build that death and destruction. So don't act like it's a bad thing when you were the person responsible. Quit playing games, man. Don't play games with us. All right. So next, all governments are branches of the root. The problem is the state. The root is the state. So we're not anti-American. We may be anti-FedGov in a sense, but really, that's just an outcropping of being anti the concept of the state. So we complained about North Korea, Iran, Canada. These are all governments. They're a symptom of the state. The state is the problem, and the state is the concept in people's heads that it's okay or legitimate for the few to tyrannize the many, and they get a moral pass when they do things that would be immoral for an average individual. All right, last up, sound conditioning. Sound conditioning is easy. It's soundproofing that is hard. So if you're going to want to soundproof, that's a very hard and could be expensive thing. Go ahead and do some research online. There's a few guys professional on YouTube that have some tips and tricks.
Maybe you can soundproof your wife and roommate's ears. Get them earplugs. Do it at the source, man.
I do have the gun ears, and sometimes I offer it to them, but they don't like to have those big clunky things on their heads.
Those will be illegal. The government's going to make those illegal now that they're using sound as a weapon.
Ah, and that's another good point. The government does use sound as a weapon in a few different ways. You know, they've got the sonic emitters, which are like a loud, high-pitched thing, you know, kind of like the things people wear to annoy barking dogs and keep them away from them when they're walking late at night. The government can do that, and they have done that. I think they did it in Pittsburgh during some kind of anti-establishment rally. They also use music, annoying music, to terrorize people.
New Metallica. Not old Metallica, because they might. Metallica, old Metallica's right. good, so they use new Metallica.
Right. Yeah, that was a story that came out a little while ago down in Gitmo. They were blasting Metallica at the prisoners, the detainees, but they were using new Metallica. And you're like, well, some people may like Metallica. And I was like, well, nobody likes new Metallica.
New Metallica, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and they've also used, I think, heavy metal or different very loud, abrasive music during some standoffs. I can't remember which ones. Maybe even Waco? I'm not 100% sure on that. But I know the government has done that in standoffs before. I don't recall which ones or how high profile they are. But yeah, man, the government wants to control what goes into your body. That doesn't just include your lungs and your veins, but it also includes your ears and your eyes. So be very wary of it and try to get as away from that system as you can. So that's it for me and the Tweak and Review. I'll let Michael take us out.
Because Nima has to go out and put on a suit and be a DJ at a wedding and play that hip-hopping punk rock and hip-hopping truth.
Actually, I'm doing videography today, but close.
You can do lots of page swirls and star wipes.
No, I don't do the editing. I just do the shooting.
Yeah. You're going to go do some shooting at a wedding. Wait.
No. We'll be back. Or tomorrow we will.
Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
All right, pimps. Have a good one, huh?
All right. Thanks, homie.
Thanks, man. All right. Yo. Are you on tomorrow?
No, I am not. I'm not sure
Kyle.
Who will be.
I think Kyle.
Yeah, probably Kyle.
Yep. All right, man. Thanks for the help and for being patient with my F-ups. And we like the porn music you played.
Great, yeah, great. I love porn music.
Yep. It's cool. All right,
reminds
man.
Reminds you of all the porn.
See you next week. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Minerals and trace elements that
good
our bodies
today.
Need to...
I'm going
to
duck out.
All right, Nima. Take care, brother, man. Worms. Yep. Bye.